You're listening to SBS News.
Zhezhe, thanks for joining SBS.
My pleasure.
Firstly, migration has been an absolute powerhouse for the economy. The borders are shut. When will they be reopened? And when will people start being able to migrate to Australia again?
Well, we have an assumption in the budget that will be revealed on Tuesday night, but it will be next year. And that is the expectation at this point in time. But again, we've got to follow the medical advice. That medical advice has helped keep Australians safe. That medical advice has helped keep the virus at bay here in Australia. And with a strong health position, we've had a strong economic recovery. And it's vitally important we continue to follow the medical advice with respect to borders.
And when we come to that question of the border closures, the Prime Minister was quoted this morning as saying that it's indefinite at this point. So how clear are you on when that reopening will occur?
Well, the Prime Minister has been very consistent. We're focusing on suppressing the virus here in Australia. That's always been our focus with health measures, whether it's quarantine, whether it's the testing and the tracing, whether it's rolling out that vaccine, which has now gone to more than 2.5 million Australians. That's our focus for suppressing the virus here. You can't eliminate the virus, and the Prime Minister hasn't said that.
In the meantime, you're about to announce big spending measures in aged care, in disability care. How much in the aged care space, and how are you going to staff these facilities if you don't have the migrant workforce coming in?
Well, workforce is an important issue, and we'll have some measures in the budget that are directed towards that. What we'll have in the budget is new spending of more than $10 billion over the forward estimates, in addition to what we already spend today. There was a Royal Commission into the aged care sector which found that it was in urgent need of reform and repair. And the budget is seeking to help Australians, older Australians, retire, spend their latter years with dignity, respect, and of course, in safety.
So how are you going to staff these facilities and whatever you're putting the money into if you don't have that migrant workforce, which we know has really been so important in providing those services?
Indeed it is, as well as domestically training Australians to take up some of those roles.
And what are the numbers telling you about whether or not there are more people at the moment who aren't employed who potentially could go into these jobs?
Well, unemployment today is at 5.6%. It's a lot better than what Treasury was forecasting, even as recently as December, when they thought it could be 7.5%. So we have seen more people go into work, including in the care workforce, and of course in other areas like hospitality and retail and the like. There are going to be more jobs in the care workforce. We're going to help train people up to take those jobs.
And the end of JobKeeper, has it been the cliff that people were concerned about in terms of jobs?
That's not what the data is showing. Indeed, quite to the contrary. The latest data shows that 105,000 Australians have come off income support in the month of April after the end of JobKeeper. Our political opponents said that the sky would fall in with the end of JobKeeper, that every job loss would be on our heads. Well, it's time for them to apologise based on some of this early data. Let's wait and see for the final ABS numbers with respect to unemployment, but the labour market has very much surprised on the upside.
Okay, let's go quickly to the iron ore price. Obviously, in the short term, this is a major boon for your document this week, but what kind of changes have you had to make in the long-term forecast as a result of the escalating tensions?
Well, we've made some changes with assumptions with respect to the iron ore price because it has been elevated for longer than we had expected. We've always been conservative at a $55 a tonne iron ore price. Right now we've seen it above more than $160 a tonne for a number of months now. We will again reveal that on budget night on Tuesday. But you're right, revenue numbers that have come in have exceeded expectations based on the money coming in from iron ore sales. But at the same time, our revenue numbers have also improved as a result of more Australians being in work. With the labour force being a lot stronger, you not only get a lower welfare bill, but you also get more tax receipts. And that's been a bigger boost to the budget.
But is this keeping you up at night in terms of the longer term economy in Australia? What's happening in our international relationship, particularly with China, which we're so reliant on?
Well, the China-Australia economic partnership is very important. They're our largest two-way trading partner. but at the same time it's mutually beneficial. So exports like iron ore has helped underpin their economic growth. China's the world's largest steel exporter. Our iron ore helps create tens of thousands of jobs in their country.
You are the grandson of migrants.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past couple
actually,
of
years, the son of a migrant as well, and my mother. Yeah.
So when you look at the debate that's been raging over the last couple of weeks, were you uncomfortable with the announcement by the health minister to threaten jail for people coming back from India?
Well, those measures under the Biosecurity Act were temporary. We had health advice, and they were designed to keep Australians safe. The Prime Minister has since announced that flights will resume to bring Australians home from the 15th. That's important. That's welcome.
Did it trouble you, though?
Well, again, there are a lot of things that have been very challenging during this crisis. Protecting Australians has been vitally important. We had health advice that the situation in India had seen so many people get the pandemic. There was new variants of the virus. Real challenges with our quarantine, being able to cope with those people coming to Australia. Now we've seen the number of people in quarantine with the virus going down, and that has given us the capacity to bring back these flights.
So when Penny Wong yesterday said that she thinks that it's the quarantine system that placed people in an increasingly risky situation, of course a quarantine system that this budget in some ways will be predicated on in terms of the future ability to use migration for economic growth, what do you say in response to that?
Well, the quarantine system has been run by the states, and that's very important to understand. It has proven to be effective, but for the situation in Victoria where there was a massive quarantine failure with loss of human life as well as a huge economic cost as well. But Australia's quarantine system has, by and large, been effective, but we're dealing with a once-in-a-century pandemic, which is, the virus is generating new variants all the time, and we've got to follow the medical advice, and the medical advice with respect to India was very clear.
And just finally, in terms of the spending on women in the budget, do you now acknowledge that you missed this issue last year, that you didn't pay enough attention to gender equity and to the other spending measures that you're now putting in place?
Well, this budget is a lot different to last year's budget. We're now firmly in the recovery. But last year, we had a Women's Economic Security Statement with a number of important issues and initiatives. In this year's budget, we've got more money on women's safety, more money on women's economic security. We've already announced the $1.7 billion for childcare, as well as significant initiatives around women's health, including for breast cancer screening, breast cancer awareness, new drugs being listed on the PBS. These have all been designed to support women and their well-being. They're important measures, but they're not the first or the last word with respect to women's health, women's economic security and women's safety from the Morrison government.
Women marched in the street this weekend to protest against your colleague Andrew Lamming. Is it going to be hard to sell these budget measures while he is sitting on your backbenches?
Well, again, Andrew Lamming has made very clear his response to those earlier comments, and the Prime Minister and I and others have made clear that they were unacceptable. Our measures in this budget speak for themselves. They're designed to boost women's safety, women's economic security and women's health.
Treasurer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.